Notice that looks a lot clearer on my computer than it does on that screen. Faith alone will not save. That would be considered heresy in many of the religious groups, the Christian religious groups around us today, to say that. Many in the realm of Christianity teach that you're saved when you believe in Jesus. And that's all it takes. All you have to do is believe in Jesus and you will be saved. If pressed on this, most will admit that repentance and confession are necessary also. So they say you're saved by faith alone, but then they admit, well, no, you got to repent of your sins and you got to confess Jesus as Lord. But they usually will not say that baptism has anything to do with our salvation. That's where they want to draw the line. Acts 2:38 and 39 says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call.'" That repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. Repentance and baptism are both their antecedents of remission of sins. That you receive the remission of sins as a result of baptism and repentance. That both of those are necessary. And so many would say, yes, repentance is necessary, but baptism is not necessary. And yet they're equal in that scripture. In Colossians 2, verses 11 through 13, "In him you also were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in the trespasses, in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." And so here we see that this circumcision made without hands is referring back to the law of Moses and the circumcision that made you an Israelite. A man who was not circumcised was not considered to be an Israelite. And so here is being equated with the circumcision of Christ, which goes on to explain that that happened in baptism. The circumcision of Christ happened in baptism, and that our sins were washed away at that point. And so it is in baptism that our sins are washed away, taken away from us. And so that comes as a result of what is referred to the circumcision of Christ. And so again, baptism is equated to forgiveness of our sins. Mark 16, we're told, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Again, both of those are equal. He who believes and is baptized, both of those necessary, will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Many of those who teach faith only would say, well, it doesn't say he who is not baptized will be condemned. So it's only he who does not believe will be condemned. But again, in context, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Both of those are equal in that statement. We recognize that in any other situation in life. If I told you, if you'll mow my yard and trim my hedges, I'll give you $25. We know exactly what that means. No, and if I said, added to that, but if you don't trim my hedges, you won't get paid. You understand that you got to do both of those to be saved. The fact that I said, if you don't trim my hedges, you won't be paid is just an emphasis on the fact that you got to do that. But both of them are necessary. And no one would try to say, oh no, I didn't trim your hedges, but I expect payment for that. Because we understand that language. But because people get themselves into a hole in a religious realm, They don't want to accept the fact that something is necessary for salvation besides faith alone. Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. A lot of people like to talk about being born again. I'm a born again Christian. Well, according to this, that born again comes after baptism. We're buried with him in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. Not when we believe are we born again, but when we're baptized, we're born again. Baptism is equated with birth and the new birth. And so again, they have a problem with that scripture. 1 Peter 3:21, there's an antitype now which saves us, baptism. Oh, that's a real problem. Baptism saves us? Not the removal of the filth of flesh, but the answer of good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they like to put an emphasis on, oh, well, it doesn't remove the filth of the flesh. No one believes it does. But it is necessary for salvation. Then they want to make a play on, well, it's just the answer of a good conscience. Yeah, your conscience can't be right until you're baptized. It's an answer of that conscience. And so if you want to have a good conscience toward God, you must be baptized. It equates with the flood, and that's what he's talking about there, where eight souls were saved through water. And so he says there is an antitype that now saves us, baptism. And so all of those scriptures show that faith alone will not save us. But we want to look also at the fact that obedience and works are required of Christians. The scriptures are plentiful that talk about this. James 2:14 through 24, one of the most plainly spoken ones. What does it profit, my brother, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? And the answer to that is no. You know, if I say, do you expect me to believe that? Do you think I'm stupid? Well, the obvious answer to that would be no, but some of you might question that. But still, that's the Greek wording requires a no answer there. And he goes on to explain, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, and he's equating that with faith. Faith is just that acknowledgement. And so if we see someone who's got a problem with food and shelter, and we recognize that, what good does it do if we say, be warmed and filled, if we don't do something to solve their problem? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. How much clearer can you get than that? Faith alone will not save you. Faith without works is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And so he says, how can you show your faith in God without your works? You have to have works to show that you believe, that you have that faith in God. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even demons believe and tremble. Are demons going to be saved? They believe. James says they believe and tremble. They believe in God. They believe in Jesus. Are they going to be saved? Obviously not. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Ooh, that's pretty strong, isn't it? Foolish man, you think that faith without works is going to save you? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and that by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him to righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. The only time faith only is used in the scripture says we're not saved by faith only. And so, very clear statement here. Matter of fact, one of the proponents of faith only referred to James as a right strawy epistle. In other words, he wasn't sure that we needed to accept James as really the Word of God because it questioned so much, made so very clear that faith alone will not save you. Notice it says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and that belief caused him to sacrifice Isaac. That was the proof of his obedience. And that's what Peter said here. Show me your works without your faith, and I will show you my works by my faith. Or show you my faith by my works. I think earlier I said that was Paul. It was James. Matthew 7:21. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, everyone who just believes in me as their Lord shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So there are a lot of people in the world crying out this morning, Lord, Lord, we believe in you, Lord, but are they doing the will of God, doing the will of the Father? That's the question. Acts 10:35, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. So if you don't fear him and work righteousness, you're not going to be accepted by him. So that pretty much sounds like works are necessary for salvation, doesn't it? Romans 2:7-12. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God, for as many as have sinned without the law will also perish with the law, and as many have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. And so Paul here is making it clear what we've been studying in the book of Proverbs. Those who do good are going to be blessed by God, and those who do evil are going to be punished by God. That's true throughout both Testaments. That principle is there, and that's what Paul is pointing out here. If you're doing good, then you're going to be blessed by God. If you do evil, you're going to be punished by God. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 through 14. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive reward. And so if your work doesn't stand, then you're not going to be saved. So your work is the basis of your salvation. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain because the end result is going to be heaven. But if you don't work, you can't expect to be in heaven. Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Faith working through love. Faith without works is dead, James says. And so faith must work through the love of God and our wanting to be in heaven with him. A working faith is necessary. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And those people believe in faith only want to stop right there. And then it says, though after that, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so we can't stop and eliminate verse 10, because we are his workmanship. The reason we are created in Christ Jesus is for the purpose of good works. That new birth, that being born again after baptism, where we put to death the old man, the new man lives in obedience to God. And that's the good works that we should be doing. Philippians 2, verses 12 through 13. Therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but also now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Work out your salvation? Wait a minute. All I got to do is believe to be saved. How can I work out my salvation if I already believe? And so obviously, belief is not enough. You have to work out your salvation. God is working in you for his to do his will for his good pleasure. So God wants us to work if we're going to be saved. We have to work out our salvation. Believing in Jesus is not enough. Then in Colossians 1, verses 9 through 15, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him and being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And so he talks about all of this stuff that we need to be doing, filled with his knowledge and understanding, being fruitful in every good work, pleasing him by doing that, increasing in the knowledge of God, and that he has given us or qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints and the like because of these things that we're doing, because of our works that we're doing. And we have redemption as a result of that. In 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them be rich in good works, but ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Wait a minute, all they got to do is believe in Jesus. So if a rich man believes in Jesus, that's all he's got to do. No, he's got to share what he has with others. Be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. And that will store up for themselves a good foundation that they may inherit eternal life. In Titus 1, 16, they profess to know God, believe in God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. I mentioned a number of times, I used to listen on the way to church to a denominational preacher here locally. And I remember him saying a number of times, what you do has absolutely nothing to do with your salvation. Now, what does the average person think that means? Well, that means I can go out and drink and party on Saturday night and come to church on Sunday. What I do has absolutely nothing to do with my salvation. Then I can do what I want to do. Now, he may not mean that, but that's what the person in the pew hears. And that's contrary. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him. Our works is what proves our faith. In Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. If I'm told what I do has absolutely nothing to do with my salvation, why would I be zealous for good works? If I'm saved when I believed, why not just believe in Jesus and sit down and do nothing? That'd be pretty easy, wouldn't it? That's the reason those churches are filled with people. They make salvation much easier than God made it. Salvation is not that cheap. it's going to cost us something. We're going to have to work for it if we want it. Obedience and work is always required of Christians. Then we want to point out that Christians will be judged by their deeds or their works. Now, you know, we had all of those scriptures that showed that works were necessary for salvation. Now we're going to see that on Judgment Day, how's God going to judge us? Not by our faith. But wait a minute, if we're saved by faith, that's all I need. That should be the basis of judgment, shouldn't it? But it's not. We're going to be judged by the deeds done in the body. And I would think if I was in a religious group who taught faith only would save you, and I got to Judgment Day, I'd be like those who said, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, do many mighty works in your name? And yet he will say to me, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you, Matthew 7:23. And so, yeah, if I believed in faith only and got there on Judgment Day and found out that God's going to judge me by not my faith, but by my works, I'd be pretty upset at that preacher that taught me that stuff. Notice John 5:28-29. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life. Those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Saved or lost, going to be based on what you did in this life. Very clear. Romans 2:5-11. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deed. Wait a minute. Why wouldn't he render to us according to our faith? Because he doesn't believe that. He doesn't teach that. The basis is going to be according to his deed. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking, do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also the Greek, for there is no partiality to God, with God. So if you do good, heaven's your reward. If you do evil, hell is your punishment. Based on our works, not on our faith. Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his works. According to what? His works. But works have nothing to do with my salvation, they would say. You need to tell Jesus that, because that's not what he said. And you're going to have a problem on Judgment Day if you believe that. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And again, the basis of judgment, what we did in this body, whether we did good or whether we did evil. That's the basis of judgment. Not our faith, but what we did. 1 Peter 1:17, if you call on the Father who without partiality, according to each one's work, judges, that's got left out of there some way, who judges without partiality according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. He judges on the basis of each one's work. Not your faith, not even how much faith you had, but on what you did with that faith, whether it was a working faith. Revelation 2:3, the seven churches of Asia. Each one, he says, I know your works. And basically he said, repent or I'm going to remove your candlesticks. So your works are not right in the sight of God. And so they needed to change what they were doing if they wanted to be saved, or else their candlestick would be removed. Revelation 14:13, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Their works follow them. Not their faith, but their works. Faith working. In Revelation 20, verses 12 through 13, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Judgment based on their works. Those books that were opened recorded everything you've done on this earth. And you're going to be judged by that. Revelation 22:12. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. I give to everyone according to his works. How can anyone read these scriptures and conclude that we're saved by faith, but God's going to judge us according to our works? How does that work? How can you make that right? You can't change the scriptures. And every place judgment is mentioned, it is always on the basis not of our faith, but of our works. So faith is necessary combined with our works, or as a result of our faith. Are you in Christ? The only way the Bible says you get into Christ is through baptism. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Galatians 3:26 and 27 says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So where do you get into Christ? The only way the Bible ever says you can get into Christ is through baptism. And those people who believe in faith only say baptism will not get you there. And yet the scripture says it will. Romans 6:3. Do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death, and were raised to walk in newness of life from that baptism? So how are you doing as a Christian working for Jesus? In Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So if you're not in Christ, you need to be in Christ, where those spiritual blessings are found. Where you can put to death that old man and all of those sins and be raised to walk in newness of life and obedience to God. And when you fail in some area of your Christian life, then you repent of that and confess that, and the blood of Jesus will continually cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If we can help you to be assured that you have that home in heaven today, we want to do that. If you need to repent and confess him and be baptized so that you can start that new life and have your sins washed away and forgiven, then we'd love to do that and help you with that salvation through Christ and obedience to the gospel. If you, as a Christian, realize you haven't lived for Christ, you've lived for self, and you haven't done those things that God wants you to do, you've been selfishly doing those things you want to do, rather than doing what he wants you to do, you need to repent and confess that. Rededicate yourself to serving him better in the future than you have in the past. If we can help you in either one of these ways, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.